This morning I was preaching, I was a couple of minutes with Isaac. Yeah. We've known him for a while. In fact, Isaac lost probably one of his first toots. Dalton knocked it out on the football field. But tremendous football player. And I was talking about, I said, God's got a greater purpose in your life than playing football. And I called him by name because he played on the national team. He just got three, so I scared to death he was coming back to get me to show me what that purpose was. So I gotta be careful. He's not been to church too much. He didn't know what to expect about much how things went down. But he was, I think, a little nervous. So anyway, he survived. But pray for him. We're pretty confident he doesn't know the Lord or Savior. In fact, one of his friends mentioned, "You want to go up and get saved this morning?" And he said, "No way, in front of all them people." So do pray for him, and that we can be a witness and through friendship and various means. If you have your Bible, I want to invite you to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 12. Isaiah chapter 12. I'm thankful that when God saved me, understanding that my residence, what I belonged to, was this world. The moment that I got saved, I got a new address. And it's in the heavens. I belong and have an eternal home. And there's things we have in heaven that's not going to fade away. It's never going to rust. Moth's not going to get to it. I am thankful to know that we got a permanent dwelling one day. We think this is real. I got news for you. This isn't really real. I'm not trying to get no Scientology, but this really isn't anything compared to that one eternal day. We're going to look at this as nothing. One day, eventually, within time, we're going to view this as nothing at all. And I'm thankful that one day I was destined to hell, and immediately I was destined to heaven. You see, God works that way. He can change your destination and in your life. And He does that by the means of salvation. I like what Isaiah says in three verses of chapter 12. And I want to preach on this subject, that salvation moves you. Salvation moves you. Verse 1, it says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We're thankful that we have an eternal hope. The people that do not know Jesus Christ, they don't have that hope. They don't understand. And Father, we should be, one thing we should be settled in is where we're going when we die. And Father, for that hope of salvation, Father, we thank you for it. It changes our lives. It changes our attitude. It changes our affections. It changes us from the inside out. And God, it moves us from where we would be going to where we are going. It moves us from what we were in the past to a future that has a great purpose. Father, we thank you that we can look to you and realize we live this life for eternity and not for the present day. Lord, we ask you, bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. The word salvation is used three times in just these few verses that I read to you, as you especially find in verses number 2 and in verses number 3. "Behold, God is my salvation. He also has become my salvation." And it says, "draw out of the wells of salvation." You see, the word salvation is used 164 times in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word salvation means deliverance or victory. That's what you get from the idea, the meaning, deliverance or victory. In the New Testament, it can also mean deliverance, but it also can mean preservation and arriving at a place or a point of safety. Salvation is what we receive the moment we trust in Jesus Christ by faith. We receive that salvation, and we trust Him as Savior. Salvation, we know, is a gift from God. You can't earn it. It's what God gives you as a response to your faith. It's not a future gift that is going to be awarded to you, but it is a gift that God gives the moment of faith, the moment of conversion. That is a present tense gift that you have throughout all eternity. Now, if you study salvation, one of the things that jumps out, I think, when you study the word salvation in Scripture, and by no means are we going to look at all 164 verses tonight, but I do want to say this to you. One thing you'll find about salvation is that when you see salvation, it always takes you from one place and places you in another place. Think about that. From one place to another. In other words, salvation moves you. I believe if your salvation hasn't moved you, you better examine what type of salvation you have. Is it a Bible-based salvation, or is it something that man has come up with? In fact, you'll find in Exodus chapter number 14, in verse number 13, and just not reading all of it tonight, but I'll just tell you, Moses standing with the children of Israel, the armies of Pharaoh approaching, and everybody's saying, maybe we've been better off if we stayed in Israel than to die like this, or stayed in Egypt than to die like this. And he told Moses to go down by the Red Sea and raise his staff and see what the salvation of the Lord. Well, that happened. It delivered them from Egyptian bondage into the land of promise. That's what salvation does. It delivers you from one place to another. In fact, you'll find it in Scripture, Jonah, and when he was in the whale's belly. In fact, I do want to read this. I think it's interesting to see this in Jonah chapter number 2. When Jonah got right with God. Now, I know some people believe that Jonah lived all 3 days in the whale's belly. Some people believe that he died. And you say, well, how could he pray? Well, here's what I think. I believe when that whale started swallowing him, I believe he got busy with God. Amen? That's what I think. If you got swallowed by a big whale, you wouldn't wait 3 days to start praying. That's what Brother Grant thinks. But either way, he's a type and picture of the Lord Jesus. And here's what he said in verse number 9. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I vowed in what? Salvation is of the Lord. Now, did he stay in the whale's belly? Absolutely not. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon dry ground. You see, he moved from one place to another. And look in Psalm 40. Psalm 40 in verses 1 through 3. Turn there with me in the Word of God to see what it says. Psalm 40 verses 1 through 3. David wrote, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Here's what he did. He brought me also up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Now notice where he was brought from. He was brought from a horrible pit, his feet sinking in the miry clay. He was brought out, put his feet upon solid ground, upon a rock. He's established his goings, and he also put a new song in his heart. He went from destiny to destruction to a destiny with God. Just like that. Because what God did for him, he brought him out. He's taken from one place and delivered to another. I'm thankful that's what salvation does. It delivers us from one place and brings us to another. Let me just bring you another incident in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 12 through 15. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and I'm using this to illustrate before I preach. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, 12 through 15. You have to like what the Apostle Paul says. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God enabled him. God put him in the ministry. But notice this before. You see, this is where he is now, but guess where he was before? Before, he was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. And he says he obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And he said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. And here's what you'll find is, you see, before he was a blasphemer, he was injurious, he was insolent. We could say so many things about the Apostle Paul in the negative way. You know what he was? He was lost. He was undone in sin. He was blinded. He was misguided. But guess what happened? The moment that he got saved, God enabled him. God counted him faithful and put him in the ministry. He went from being one to attacking those that named the name of Christ to being one who publicized the name of Christ just like that. Why? Because of salvation. You see, salvation moves us from one place to another. You can't be neutral and get saved. You get saved, I want to promise you, you're not going to remain neutral. You'll find in Scripture, anytime somebody met Christ, they didn't remain neutral. They moved to condemnation or moved to salvation, but they just did not stay neutral. And you'll find it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is going to be the last one, and the message won't be long, but I want you to pay attention. It's 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9. Hopefully I'll find it. The Bible says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." That means not weirdos, but people owned of God. He said that you should show the praise of Him who called you out of darkness, what? Into His marvelous light. You were called out of darkness into His marvelous light. I want to submit to you that one of the things that salvation does is moves you from one place to another in your life. You see, I want to say to you, when salvation takes hold of you, there's some things that happen. There's some places you're going to move to. And I'm going to give them to you real quick tonight. Number one, it'll take you to heaven. That's pretty simple, is it not? When you're saved by the grace of God, you are going to be taken to heaven. It's going to move you to heaven one day. My faith in Christ is the very key that opens the door to heaven. It's my salvation that opens the door of heaven. Look in John chapter number 14. We all love John chapter 14. It ought to inspire us. It ought to cause us to rejoice. I preached the other night. It's a text for troubled hearts. But he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We can stand and rejoice in the fact, listen to me, that once we're saved, we have a place that is not in this world. This world is not my home. Just isn't. Now, I want to say to you, every believer is going there one day. Secondly, I want to say this, it will take you to holiness. Think about it. Not only will salvation move you to heaven, change your residence, where you belong when you die. You're not destined to hell, you're destined to heaven. Listen to this. Secondly, I say this, it will take you to holiness. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know it. That if you're in Christ, what? You're a new creature. You're different. You are different, right? And man, the Bible, I want you to understand, tells us that there ought to be a change in your life. I believe this, if someone truly gets born again, it will alter and change their life. You see people say, oh, they're saved, and they continue down the same path that they've been trodden. You see people say that they're saved, and they continue on, and they never change. And you say, well, Brother Grant, you saying a Christian can't sin? I'm not saying that. I'll just tell you what the Bible says in this stuff. I'm not saying that. John even wrote some things. If people can misconstrue and say that Christians could get to the place of sinless perfection. But if they go back, he says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. John knew that. But let me just tell you something. There's something about people who profess Christ sometimes that they continue in their sin and there's no change. There's nothing really dramatically that's transpired in their life. Listen to me. They're going to be enslaved to that sin. One thing about someone that's been saved by the grace of God, we're set free from sin. We're not set free to sin. We're set free from sin. And so it changes our life. One of the signs of salvation is a life that has been changed. Look at 1 John 2:9. Turn there with me. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 9. Several places we'll probably flip to quickly tonight. I'll not spend a whole lot of time because I believe the Bible does a good enough job of explaining itself. And so if I can get there myself. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says this, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now." I want to say to you one thing that ought to change. We ought to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. It ought to move us to holiness once we're saved by the grace of God. Now, I'm not talking about having a PhD. I'm not talking about you ladies having a Pentecostal hairdo. Some of you all figure it out later. I'm not talking about dropping the makeup, because I thank God for makeup. I've seen the before and I've seen the after. Amen. And I'm not against it. And I believe ladies ought to dress modest. And I believe they ought to try to be attractive. And fellas, y'all do too, but stay away from the makeup. And I'm not opposed to any of that stuff. That's not what I mean when I'm holding it. I'm talking about being Christ-like. I'm talking about having a life that is Bible-centered. We've got principles based on the Word of God. You're going to live your life accordingly, and it's going to cause you to abstain from some things and refuse to do some things, refuse to go to some places. Why? Because God's working in you. You see, that's what Philippians 1:6 being confident saying, He which begun a good work in you. He's working on me to make me more and more like Jesus Christ every single day. And so I want you to see that. Then also 1 John chapter 3 in verse 7. He says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this is the purpose of the Son of God, was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, we know he's not talking about sinless perfection, because you go right back to the first chapter, and he says, if any man say that he has not sinned, what? He's deceived himself, and the truth is not in him. He's not contradicting himself. But what he's talking about here is these false professors. They claim to be saved, and then they continue on with the same habitual lifestyle. May I say to you, dear friend, you better be very cautious. If your salvation doesn't change you and cause you to withdraw from some things and draw closer to God, the truth of the matter is there is probably something wrong with that type of salvation. Let me just say to you in verse number 9, it says, whosoever born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God. And this children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Let me tell you, it's pretty stern. You know what he's saying is? You know what John expected? He expected people that name the name of Christ to live different than the world. Don't get quiet on me. Is that a strange expectation? I don't think so. I think we're to be different. And the Bible tells us He moves us. Listen to me. I believe one thing happens, salvation. You're moved from this world. You're moved toward heaven. You're moved more to be like Christ. That's moving toward holiness. And let me just say this. It'll also take you into the harvest. I believe when someone is saved by the grace of God, one of the surefire signs that someone's been saved is that they are going to go into the harvest. You'll find that the early church in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, this is one of the staples of the early church. Turn to Acts chapter number 1 verse 8. Let me tell you one way you could identify these people. But when you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. One of the identifying marks that we belong to God is the fact that we're trying to reach others with the gospel. Mark 16:15, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You'll find when Jesus saved people, and sometimes Jesus healed people, he didn't want to draw a crowd and attention to himself, and he'd say, go tell no man. Could any of those people keep their mouth shut? When God did a work in their life, whether it be physically, whether it be spiritually, you know what they did? They went everywhere telling everybody all around them all about what Jesus had done for them. I believe when God does something for us, the world should have a hard time keeping our mouth shut. But the problem is, many people, they just don't want to say much about it. Listen, the Bible tells us that we are to light we are the light of the world. No man light the candle and stick it under a bushel, but what puts in a candlestick, and out of that candlestick is representation of the individual believer. Where does he belong? He belongs in the candlestick. I'll not chase that. Or he belongs in the church. That's where he belongs, where he can work together collectively for the glory of God with all other believers. And so you'll find that not only that, the harvest, Jesus said, he told us the harvest is truly plenteous. But in John chapter number 4, the moment the woman of Samaria got converted, you know what she did? She went back to town and said, come see a man. You know what that proves to me? She went from being somebody who's ashamed, coming in the middle of the day to draw water, shame was recluse from normal society, to suddenly being engaged with them, proclaiming the God-man. Why did she do that? Because of salvation. Salvation changes you. Salvation moves you from one thing to another. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 1, let me tell you what it changed there, those fellows, that they became fishers of men. They've been fishing for white bass in the Sea of Galilee for long enough. It was time to become fishers of men. I remember going to Israel. Some of you may have been there. Remember, they said, you get to eat St. Peter's fish. It was just the white bass. When they brought it out, it was staring at me. Amen. I like my fish filleted. Thank you very much. Amen. Boneless. And so, but, you know, I said, oh, this is great, and ate it and tried not to get choked on a bone. But the truth of the matter is, they went from being the fishers as making a living to fishing for the souls of men. They were changed. It'll change. And let me tell you another thing. It'll take you to the house of God. Salvation will take you to the house of God. Let me tell you, I've seen people that had no desire for the church house. You let them get saved, and suddenly the first one's there and last one's to leave. Amen. They're fired up, ready to be there. I mean, I wouldn't write with God. I remember I see people from Liberty Baptist Church, and they come start talking to me or kidder. They start talking to me about my church. I hated seeing them. But you know what? I got right with God. I wanted to be around them. I wanted to just glean everything I could get. Let me tell you something. If you're not excited about being around God's people, there's probably something wrong with you. You ought to long for being with God's people. Let me just tell you something. The early church, when they got saved and they got to preaching and God was working, you know what everybody did? They got together in their houses and they read the Bible, they prayed, and God did miraculous things because their faith was turned upward. And man, the church was growing and expanding and they were excited. They got together and they had eating meetings in their own homes on a daily occurrence, and they were studying and they were preaching. They were hungry for preaching. Now you say, what happened? I'll tell you what it was. You see, salvation moved them from one thing to the other. They had a dead religion. Now they had a living religion. Amen. You get that? It changes you. It changes your desire. Man, I believe we get saved. We ought to desire the New Testament church and fellowship with the saints and the household of faith. We ought to desire it. The early church was all about that. You can study all through the book of Acts. Let me just tell you, tonight, and I'll wrap it up quick. Here's the thought. If your salvation won't take you to holiness, won't change your lifestyle, if your salvation doesn't put you into the harvest and have a concern for souls, and if your salvation won't take you to the house of God, I wouldn't trust that salvation to get me to heaven. Peter said, make your calling election before God. Make it sure. Tonight, if you've not been saved, I want to tell you that you can make it sure. Have you been changed? Have you been moved? Has God taken you from one place to another in your life? He can tonight if you'll simply repent and believe the gospel. That's pretty simple. Not complicated. It isn't something that you have to go through 7 easy steps. Tonight, you come with a broken and contrite spirit. I promise you, God will not refuse. If you come up here and agree with God that you're a sinner and God broke your heart over that sin, and you've seen that you're deserving of judgment, and you call out to mercy, God will save you. Pretty simple tonight, Father. I'm thankful salvation changes us. I'm thankful it moves us. And God, may we ever be reminded of that. If we're anything different today, it's because you've moved us there. Ephesians 2:10, you said we are your workmanship in Christ Jesus. We are created unto good works. We're not saved by them, but God, we're saved for them. And God, help us to realize that you want to move us into a life that is working and bringing you glory, honor, and praise. And I pray for anyone that may be here and the Spirit has spoken to them and has tugged, told them that they've not been changed, they've not been moved from death unto life. Pray tonight will be the night that they come to you. Have your will and way this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.